3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome back, Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Thanks for being here. And I guess this turns out to be the final regular season podcast of the year. This is the finale. I was ready to go another full month, but not to be. As the Mariners fall to the A's over the weekend, eliminated Saturday night with the loss. Mariners, no postseason this year, oh so close, but couldn't find their way into the postseason. So on this podcast, we're going to talk about that last weekend. We're going to talk about, I have a lot of conversations surrounding the weekend and the year for the Mariners as this season now in the books, and attention will be turned to next year. Before we get into it all, though, I do want to say thanks to you for listening all season long. I got a lot of really nice notes the last couple of days. After the season, playoff hopes were dashed, both email and tweets, and I really appreciate it. It's very nice of you to say, very kind of you, and I feel like we've all been on this long journey together, the ups and the downs and the whole thing, and it has really been fun the past 3 years to do this, and this year was really, really fun. It's hard to explain, put into words the year. I mean, the end was so sudden with the loss on Saturday and then the turnaround so quickly back at the ballpark on Sunday, knowing that you're not playing for postseason at that point. But still, even hours separated from that, it's hard really to put into words exactly this season. There was so much to it, the ups and the downs and the dramatic moments. And to be honest, I think that game on Saturday was kind of a mirror image to what the season has been like. But I do want to say thanks to you for being here all season. So this is going to be the last one for a while. I'm going to take some time off. We're sporadic during the off season. We'll post one every now and again. There's really no set schedule during the off season. And really after the first of the year, we start to crank it back up at a little more regular basis and into spring training, and then daily once we get into the season. That's kind of how the schedule has been in the past, and I suspect the schedule will be the same sort of thing this year. So we'll be back at you whenever there's news and things like that, but we'll take some time off here in the next little while. So I guess it's goodbye for now, but not goodbye for very long. And before we know it, pitchers and catchers I'll be reporting once again, and those are always the sweetest words to my ears, because as much as opening day is my favorite, absolute favorite day of the year, closing day is just my least favorite. To walk out of that empty ballpark every year, there's no one in there. When I just look around, see it empty, and know it's dormant. It goes quiet as the chill in the air settles in, the leaves on the ground, and fall gradually graduates to winter, and that ballpark just sits empty and just waits, bides its time until spring and then the summer, and then the ballpark, the noises, the games, the people, everything else fills Safeco Field once again. And I'll very much be looking forward to next baseball season. But right now, let's talk about what happened over the weekend, because it was really an incredible weekend on many different levels. We knew going in that the odds were against the M's and really looking for a sweep of the Oakland A's, and it was so far so good to begin the series.
The 1-2 pitch from Diaz, swing and a miss, strike three. It's over. The Mariners hang on and they win it. 3-2 over the A's to keep their postseason hopes alive. Edwin Diaz ends up striking out the side. The A's get one run and they leave the tying run stranded at third. The go-ahead run stranded at first base. It was a mighty struggle, but Edwin Diaz was up to the challenge. The Mariners win it 3-2.
So the Mariners win game one of the series. Game two went the Mariners' way as well.
The 1-1 pitch, swing and a pop-up into shallow right field. Cano going out, backpedaling. Robbie's there. He's got it, and the ball game is over. The Mariners win it 5-1 over the Oakland A's. And with two games left in the regular season, right now the Mariners are one game out of a wild card spot.
And so one game out heading into Saturday, and at that point, all the possibilities are right there, depending on what happened around the Mariners. I mean, there's a chance they could have gone into Sunday tied for both wild cards, depending on what Baltimore and Toronto did that day and what the Mariners did that day. So all the possibilities were right there for the Mariners on Saturday. And the M's got off to a good start. They took a 2-0 lead going into the third, but that's when the struggles really hit Iwakuma. And it just was not his night. 3 2/3, 9 hits, 5 earned runs, walked 1, fanned 5. The A's jumped on him. They expanded the lead. They were on top 5-2 going into the fifth inning. And that's when Robinson Cano just, man, he sizzled to end the season.
And the 2-0 pitch to Robbie. Swing and a drive deep into center field. Heidner going back, looking up. Goodbye, baseball! Robbie Cano with a 2-run drive to center field here in the bottom of the fifth. Reignites the crowd here at Safeco Field. It's a 1-run ball game. It's now the A's 5 and the Mariners 4. And the Mariners keep on coming.
Yeah, Robinson Cano, his season deserves more conversation. And we're going to wrap up what the season was like in general here. But when we're separated a little bit from today, we're going to talk a little bit more about the season that he had. MVP quality type season. I don't think he's going to win the MVP. Definitely worthy to be in that conversation. Just a fabulous season offensively and defensively. He was outstanding for the Mariners and unbelievable the last 10 days or so, especially. That home run there got the Mariners close, but I mean, the A's just kept scoring. One more in the sixth, one more in the seventh. You look up, they had a 7-4 lead, but then in the seventh inning, Cano comes up with another base hit to drive in a run. He's aboard, and then Nelson Cruz is at the plate, and I mean, it was one of those unbelievable moments. The crowd was jacked all game long, just bringing it. Such a lively, loud bunch, and they were completely set off by this moment.
Cruz, the tying run at the plate. Here's the pitch. Swung on and crossed to center field. It is back. It is deep. It is out of here. This game is tied. Nelson Cruz has done it. A 2-run blast. Dead center field. It is gone. And this is a brand new ball game. The Mariners continue to fight as they have tied the score here in the seventh inning. Nelson Cruz has done it again. Home run number 43 on the season. Can you believe this?
And it was hard to believe at the moment. Mariners score 3 in the inning, and they tied the score 7-7. One of those magical moments that you never know what you're going to see coming to the ballpark with everything on the line. Man, and it looked like at that point, I think if you would have pulled everyone in that crowd at that moment, I think everyone would have said, yeah, the Mariners are going to win this ball game. But the A's score in the eighth inning. Right after that, they take the lead. But then the Mariners come through again with 2 outs. It was Gamble this time with the big hit.
The stretch. And the 1-1 pitch to Gamble on the way. Swing and a line drive. Base hit into right field. Freeman rounding third, heading home. Olsen's throw to the plate will be late. Freeman scores, standing up. The Mariners have tied it. Holy smokes. It's the Mariners 8. The A's 8. Around to third. Nori Ben Gamble with his biggest at-bat in his young Major League career. A 2-out RBI single into right field to score Mike Freeman. And the fans are on their feet one more time.
Just a fantastic moment. And so many little moments before that. Freeman pinch hitting, picks up a base hit. I mean, it was unreal. Just so many moments like that. The Mariners, they just kept on coming back. And you really felt like, even up till the end, with a runner at third base, that they were going to get it done. Had the bases loaded in the ninth, couldn't push one across in the tenth. They got hammered with some really bad luck. Nelson Cruz, a rocket up the middle, hit Madsen and glanced right to Alonso at first base, who made the play there. So instead of runners on the corners and one out, there's a runner at third base and two outs. Seager would fly out. That would be the ball game. That would be the season, as the Mariners fell 9-8 in 10 innings on Saturday. I mean, it was a great ball game. Highly entertaining. Teams going back and forth. The A's playing at a high level. I mean, we saw everything in that ball game. Didn't end the way any of us wanted, but it was a great ball game on Saturday. And then Sunday, we were left just wanting to see Felix Hernandez pitch that final day with everything on the line, but wasn't to be. As it turned out, too, Toronto and Baltimore both won on Sunday, so even if the Mariners had won Saturday and Sunday, unfortunately, it wouldn't have mattered because the hole was too deep. They never were able to get all the way back to overtake Baltimore and Toronto. It took 89 wins to grab a wild card this season. Mariners end the season with a record of 86-76. Toronto and Baltimore both 89-73 to grab the wild cards. Nearly 90 wins it took to get into the postseason this year. Exciting weekend at Safeco Field. The Mariners, I mean, they charged hard. They had the second best September record in baseball, only behind the Red Sox. Just not enough to get all the way back and get into the postseason. Tough way for the season to end, a sudden way for the season to end, but end it did. And the Mariners will look forward to next season. We will look forward to next season. So let's get some wrap-up on the season. And first, a conversation that I had with Shannon Dreher and Mike Blowers, Aaron Goldsmith, Rick Riz, as we just kind of talked about that final game on Saturday and also the season in general.
Gary Hill back with you, joined by Mike Blowers, Shannon Dreher, Rick Riz, Aaron Goldsmith. As the Mariners losing last night to the A's, eliminated from postseason contention. Let's start with the game last night, though. It's funny. I feel like I was just here a couple of hours ago.
You were.
I guess I was,
yeah,
wasn't I?
You were.
Talking about the game last night. And it's still a lot to process. That was just a wild, emotional, amazing ball game. Just didn't have the finish we were all hoping for.
I thought that the interesting thing for me was it's in this game and having played and seen so many, it's almost a 50-50 chance that when you need your stars that they actually are the ones that get it done, either because the other team just takes them out of the equation or they're just off on a particular night. But to see Robbie hit the home run to get him back into the game, to see him get the base hit and then followed up by Nelson with the home run to tie the game, I thought was amazing. But then to watch the kids come off the bench and do what they were capable of doing was a lot of fun. And, you know, the last thing for me as far as last night's game, the thing that I thought was great, and I'm sure the guys felt it, I know that Scott talked about it after the game, but for them as they head into this winter, to listen to the crowd and the fans and the way they were into it because of the energy they were playing with and the urgency they were playing with, I thought was pretty special. And when you have a good baseball team and you're winning ball games and the playoffs are right out there in front of you, that's what you get here at Safeco. So I thought that was a pretty good message to all of them.
Yeah, that's the thing that stands out for me. Yeah, the Mariners didn't make the playoffs. They came doggone close. But it was a playoff atmosphere, and they got a taste of it. You know, the veteran guys that haven't been there. Robbie Cano has been there. Nelson Cruz has been there. For the young players to do what they did in last night's ballgame, to come together as a team like that and battle back and forth and back and forth all night long, like they did all season long, was really remarkable. Now the fans realize that, as Scott Servais talked about on his pregame show, that there's a foundation here now. there is something really solid to build on for next year. You've got that core three with Cano, Cruz, and Seager, and you got young players coming through the organization. We highlighted some of the top players from the organization last night. You had seven clubs in the minor leagues get to the playoffs last year. And so there's so much to look forward to. You kind of ache right now. You're disappointed you didn't get to the playoffs because you were so close. You had opportunities. But I'll tell you what, it was exciting to watch this club all season long to do what Scott Servais did, Jerry DePoto, at the start of the season, create that culture for that to happen. They said, we got a vision. This is what we want. And it actually happened. And he reminded these guys after tough losses that, hey, you got to forget about it and just go out there and play. Just go out there and play and have some fun. And they did that, and they took the fans here last night and the fans all season long and those listening on the radio on an amazing journey this year. It was fun. I can't wait for spring training next year.
I think when we look back to spring training and we had no idea what they were or what any of this was, and now mm-hmm. we know so much and we've seen so much, and you see what is coming, you know, kind of down the pipeline, not just at this level, but organizationally, and the changes that have been made. It's pretty spectacular what has been accomplished in a year. We talked with Jerry DePoto down in the dugout a couple of minutes ago, and he said, you take the organization, the entire organization. We played over 1,000 games. This is the only game all season for the entire organization that did not mean something.
Mm-hmm.
Every minor league game went to the playoffs. So their final game, even if they lost, it was a meaningful baseball game in regards to that. That is phenomenal. And to take that going forward, to take what these guys have learned in the last month particularly, I think you could put a whole year in what we saw in September with this group. It's just going to be so exciting to see what this is going forward.
This year has provided so many highlights on the field, off the field. Rick and I were talking about, you know, this was the year of Griffey, too, and all that brought along with it. But to me, one of the great things about this year is that we actually invented a word this season, the Swelmet. The Swelmet has been one of the great themes that cannot be overlooked this season. Those photos after big Mariners wins, Seager was just a Swelmet culprit. He just looked so awkward in that thing. It was glorious. James Paxton, kind of a lost look as well when he wore it. I mean, it's just some of the Adam Lind, it just like, was it even going to fit? It's just a glorious, glorious year of the Swelmet, and that came about. Like so
from
many
a
the
fan in Oakland.
Yeah, like so many things that we're talking about for the Mariners this year. We talk about culture and this becoming a place with just a different feel to it. You know, the Swelmet's a big part of that, and just how naturally it came about. To me, that's one of my favorite and cannot be overlooked things for the Mariners this season.
Keep fighting the Swelmet, the superheroes in spring training.
Yeah, and they made it fun. You know, the Swelmet thing, and the Mariner Olympics. You know, there were these wonderful little distractions that. Oh, by the way, then we're going to go out and play some baseball and have some fun on the field as well. Scotty did a great job. He really did.
I'm going to think about the middle of the order, too, with this season. You look at what they did, the years they have, and for people that have been here for a long time and have seen some great, like all-time great middle of the orders with Griffey and Edgar and that crew, to see what these three did this year with Cano, Cruz, and Seager, the production is overwhelming. Gamers, all three of them, I mean, playing day in and day out, hurt the whole thing, banged up, and just producing all season long. It's impressive.
And how about Scott Servais with Rick Riz talking about this season and how it ended up?
Well, Skip, today it's hard to believe, but this is game number 162, the end of the regular season. What a run for your ball club last night, the playoff run to try to get there ended at game number 161. A 9-8 loss in 10 innings against the Oakland A's. But I tell you what, you battled back the entire ball game just like you battled back all season long. I know you weren't prepared for the speech after the game, but what in the world did you tell your guys after the game last night?
It was a tough one, Riz. It was an epic game. I think, you know, one that I will never forget, and I'm sure our players won't. Just the back and forth and how we refused to quit. You know, we kept fighting, and it's been our mantra here since the Griffey weekend, and our players certainly grasped onto that, and we were holding on by, you know, skin of our teeth there for a long time. But, you know, after the game last night, just to let the guys know how proud of them I was, and you know, we talked about early in the season, way back in spring training when we all got together, there's a few things I wanted to see if we could accomplish, and one of them was, you know, understanding the difference between competing and trying hard. And it's a comment and a line that I've used often this year. Last night was the epitome of competing. Yes. You know, you're trying to figure out a way to beat the other guy. And that was one of the things I was really hoping we could get to and get everybody to understand it. The other thing was to try to get players, especially at the professional level, to understand the value of playing something bigger than themselves. Yeah. And, you know, it is a team game. And you really saw our group come together as a true team. And that was great, very gratifying. For myself and our coaching staff to know all the work you put in. And it's not just about the mechanics of getting this guy to hit a slider or throw a changeup or whatever. It's all the other stuff to bring the group together. So when you go on a run we did, you know, like we did at the end, and you see it, you know, kind of culminate in the game last night, it's disheartening you don't win it because life isn't fair. You should have won that game. We should have won that game,
exactly.
You know. But
yeah.
Unfortunately, baseball and life, they're not always fair.
Last night it was an emotional roller coaster ride for you, for the team, for the fans, almost 30,000 fans, and they made a lot of noise last night. You battled back down 5-1. You battled back 7-4. Nelson Cruz hits that home run in the bottom of the seventh inning, ties the game at 7-7. What was going through your mind at that point?
I think everybody on the bench felt we're going to win the game, you know, at that point. You know, when you got the big hits, it was off Doolittle, a very accomplished closer. I think Nelson had never gotten a hit off Doolittle in his career. And, you know, Robbie hadn't had much success with him. He gets the single. Nelson gets the homer. We're tied. We're thinking we're right back in it. And we were. I really felt we were going to win the game. But like a lot of things this year with our season, it has been a roller coaster. It has been back and forth. It's very emotionally draining. I know the fans that were in the stands last night had to go home tired because, from the highs and lows of that game, it just kind of typified our season.
You know, and it was great to see the kids come through, especially Ben Gamel and O'Malley and Mike Freeman with huge base hits. Looking back over the last 7 months, I think you kind of touched on a few things, Skip, but what really stands out the most in your mind about what you accomplished in 2016?
Well, the goal was to come in here and lay a foundation. And, you know, when you're building a house, you got to lay the foundation. You get it level, you lay the concrete, and you let it settle. And I think the concrete has settled. Yeah. It's hard. We have something to build off of now. And I think that comes from what goes on in the front office here to what goes on in this office, the manager's office, to what goes on in our clubhouse. And it's about, you know, how we prepare to play the game, how we actually play the game, the adjustments we make within the game, and our ability to continue to try to get better and to figure out different ways of getting the end result that we all want. Yeah. We are going to get to the playoffs here. Yeah. And I know it's been a long drought for the Mariners and people in Seattle. But this is a different Mariner team. This is a different group. And I know it's easy to say, it's the same old Mariners. I don't want to hear it anymore because it's really not the same old Mariners. And we will get it right. We'll keep plugging along here, and it'll be an interesting offseason, and we look forward to getting back out in Peoria.
What would you like to tell the fans looking forward to 2017? Because I think it's going to be a real interesting offseason for this club because of the foundation that you, Jerry, and everybody else laid here over the last 7-8 months.
Well, sometimes, you know, getting the foundation laid is the hardest part. So I feel good about that. I think, you know, looking forward to next year and our fans, I think they've got something. You know, we've got our core group that'll be coming back, which everybody loves, you know, in the middle of our lineup. And, you know, I think we're starting to find out more about our pitching. The bullpen always is a guessing game. Right. You never know what's going to happen year to year there. But I think, you know, we do play exciting baseball. Sometimes it can be gut-wrenching, but it's exciting. It's entertaining. I hope our fans appreciate how our players play, whether it's the Leonises Martins of the world and the things we saw from Mike Zunino and kind of James Paxton stepping up. There was a lot of highlights this year of guys that we didn't quite know what we had coming into the season. So everybody knows that Jerry will be very busy in the offseason. He was last season, and he's always looking at ways to tweak the roster to get us better, to get us over the hump, and he's not afraid to take a chance. Yeah. And I think you have to be that way.
You know, looking back, sitting here every day, visiting with you every day, 162 games, you did an amazing job. You really did. You took your past experiences as a former player working in the front office with a few organizations to do what you did, you know, behind this desk and out in that dugout. You did an amazing job. You really did. What was it like for you? What kind of year did Scott Service have this year?
I learned a lot. I will say that. And thank God I had the experiences I did. And people said, you never managed before. You don't know what you're doing. You've never done it. But I manage people. I've been around the game a long time, understand it, and I really, really love players. And I've always felt that way, even in the job, different jobs I've had, is being able to touch the player and affect the player's life and how he plays and how he thinks and just kind of the person he can become. So sitting in this seat, you know, what kind of year did I have? I had a very rewarding year. I learned a lot. I'm going to be better off for it next year, you know, some of the mistakes I made. And I'm always going to make mistakes. You know, we all do in whatever job you have. But you learn from them, and I hope I have. But really, really important to me and my coaching staff, what they did. And some of the guys had obviously more experience than I had. But kind of the different personalities we have within that group really meshed well together and helped. And that's what I was hoping when I put the group together. Whether it's Manny Acta and Mike Hampton and Mel Stottlemyre and Edgar and Tim Bogar. I mean, they all – Casey Candel. I mean, what can you say about that personality, you know? So it really made it fun, and that was the goal, was to have fun and enjoy ourselves. And I created – I think we all created, our staff created enough distractions throughout the year to keep the players focused when the game was on and not make it a grind. And that, I think we accomplished what we set out to do there.
I'm telling you, Skip, you did all that and more. It was an enjoyable journey, an exciting journey. It took us right to the finish line. Tremendous job, Skip. I can't wait for spring training in 2017 in Peoria, Arizona. Thanks for a great memory here in 2016, Skip, and good luck this afternoon.
I appreciate it, Riz. I really enjoy working with you. You've been doing this a long time. You're a veteran, and you really kind of guided me down the road and threw me the layup questions when I needed them. So thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, buddy. Good luck today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Shannon Dreyer, a chance to catch up with Robinson Cano. Nearly hit 40 home runs this season. Was incredible offensively, defensively, an MVP caliber season.
Robbie, I mean, so many good things in this season, but going back to spring training, what did you have leaving Peoria, and what do you have right now when you look at this team?
Well, I mean, the chemistry we create in Peoria, I think that's how we create to get this far, but you know, too bad with Tina ended up our way, and I think the guy did a great job. Nobody think that we're going to make it this far and be able to fight through the end, not that we give up a game. I mean, it's something that take a lot of pride for these young guys, especially a guy that came from another team. Guys down for AAA, a guy like Dia that came, used to be a starter, now being a reliever. People don't realize that. It's really hard for him. Got a lot of guys that got hurt, came back. I mean, it was an up-and-down season for us, but we fight to the end.
And that last game, people are going to look back at that. I know it hurts right now, but it was a beautiful game, and it spoke a lot about this team. What did you see in that?
Well, yeah, it was a great game. I mean, you went down 5-2, be able to come back and tie the game. They went ahead again, tied the game. I mean, you tied the game twice. I mean, we do everything we can to win the game last night, but that's part of the game. You have to be ready when you win and be ready to when you lose.
Did you learn anything about yourself in this run? I remember you talking about superheroes at the beginning of the year, and you seem to be the superhero of September.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say not only myself, but I would say us. It's kind of where we lose the superhero, because remember, we were back like maybe 7 games on the wild card, and they'd be able to bounce back and win all those games. And what it tells me, if we are focused from the beginning to the end, we can make a pretty good team out of this ball club.
How do you put your season in perspective?
I would say one of the best. I mean, I don't want to say the best because I haven't, my career is not done, but I would say one of the best, not because of number-wise, but I would say that I was able to help the team not like be out in September, just at least fight to the end.
Lastly, Robbie, one of the neat things to watch is, you know, you didn't have the injuries that we know of. Are they going to tell us anything today that we didn't know?
No. thanks God, everything is good, and hopefully I finish the game today. Everything good, under control, so I'll be able to go home and enjoy my vacation.
You know, you were able to enjoy your team this year, and the ownership that you took in it, it just seems special. What kind of did you find in that? And kind of, this is your team right now with a couple of other guys.
Well, I mean, what I found on this team this year that and what I learned as it's been training, if we will stay together as a team, as a person, like as a family, all those team fortune that the manager does, it's kind of like keep us together. You get to know everyone. It's not like you go somewhere else and you have to learn yourself. you were able to know where's everyone come from, all those kind of things that everyone went through. Because a lot of people, myself, Robbie Cano, great years in the big leagues, but they don't know how I get here, what it takes to get here. And especially a lot of guys that, you know, been in the big leagues, not in the big league for like 2 or 3 years and now come back. I mean, it's amazing the way that you get to know each other and be able to, you know, play not only as a team but as a family too.
We all enjoyed watching it. Robbie, thank you, and congratulations. Just truly a fantastic season for you.
Thank you.
And also after the final game of the season, here's what Felix Hernandez had to say.
Yes, it was tough. I mean, it hurts a lot. But you know what? We learned from this. We're going to prepare ourselves for next year. I know we got a good thing going on right now. And next year, we're just going to go out there and show what we're capable to do.
How hard was it to come out there today after last night?
I don't even sleep, man. It's tough. I'm just, I mean, they asked me if I want to pitch today, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go out there for the fans. But I'm not going to be there for long, so.
Looks, how critical is this offseason for you? You dealt with injury issues for the first time in your career in a long time. The mechanical issues, how critical is this offseason for
you? Well, actually, I'm gonna prepare myself like hard for the next year and trying to play winning ball. Trying to fix my mechanic a little bit. Trying to play the WBC. I know it's gonna be a lot of things going on, but you know I want to prepare myself for next year.
Have you noticed a difference? I mean, you know, I know you hate it, but you're 30. You've got a lot of. Have you noticed differences about bouncing back or trying to stay in your mechanics, things like that?
Not because of 30s, man. It's not because of that. I mean, I injured myself. I've been out for 2 months probably. But, you know, it's just got to be consistent a little bit more. I have to be consistent. I have to go out there and do what I'm capable to do and just win games and throw some good games for the team.
You change your routine at all in the offseason?
Huh?
You can change your conditioning or anything routine in the offseason?
A little bit. I got to talk to my strength guy and then we'll see what we can do.
Hey, you also mentioned something. Winter ball? I know you wanted to play the WBC. You going to try to play winter ball off?
I'm going to try, talk to Jerry, and we'll see what we can do.
Just a couple
stars? No, it's not going to be. It's not going to be from 40, 50 innings. No chance.
Just a couple outings?
Yeah, a couple outings.
How much does that change things? I mean, the WBC and whatever, I mean, that speeds you up a little bit.
You get to start earlier for your conditioning and just work your body real early.
You mentioned talking to your strength guy. Do you think you need to get stronger?
Yeah, I do, for my legs.
Dramatically different, or how different do you need?
No, I don't think it's going to be a lot of difference. It's just different workout.
So you're not going to look like Altavilla when you come back?
That's real different. No. No.
It's just kind of an up and down season for you individually, some injuries as well. But
only one, though.
Right.
Not some, only one.
What kind of grade would you put on your season individually?
Disappointed. I was disappointed for sure. I mean, I'm the guy that always going to like to throw 200 innings and win the most game that I can and most record that I can. But you know what? It happens. But you just got to forget about this and be ready for next year.
So you guys have been within a couple strides of the playoffs before here in your career. How do you get over that hump?
You just got to get over. You got to forget about this. I mean, we right there. It was a great game yesterday, man. I was going to go early because, I was early game today. I was already dressed up, and when I saw Homer Cruz, and I changed back and go back to the dugout.
This is as close as you guys have felt. I mean, since you've been here, in terms of having a team that could have gotten to the playoffs, is this?
I think it was 14. It was 14 in this year. Mm-hmm. 2014, we were right there, and we lose. Oakland win that game, and then, but it's tough.
What's different about this team? You know, obviously after 14, there was a big drop-off. Why do you think this might be different?
It's a lot of different, man. Hmm? We got a tough guys over here. Those guys, we know each other. We, like we're a group of guys that we're family. And they like each other.
Felix, what does it mean to you to have a more Felix-ish season next year? And how much do you need that?
I need a lot. The last 2 years have been Felix, the Felix he is. But I'm prepared for that. I mean, I'm going to go there and show everybody the war. They don't believe in me. I'm going to be King Felix now.
And I think it's worth revisiting Scott Servais after the game on Sunday because a few additions to what he told Rick. So let's take a listen to that one as well as he talks about this Mariners season.
Certainly we didn't have a whole lot of wind in our sails, I guess would be the best way to put it. You know, last night and the run that we've been on, it took a lot out of everybody physically and emotionally. But, you know, we hung in there. I was really love to see that ball go over the fence for Kyle Seager. That's kind of a microcosm of our season. So close, you know. And but number of guys, like we hit on yesterday, you know, had great years. Get a chance to talk to a number of players today in the clubhouse here about, you know, looking forward to the future and what's ahead of them. You know, I think we ended up with, 86 wins, I think it was. We'd certainly like to have 87, 88, and 89, but wasn't meant to be. But our guys, again, great effort all year, and you can really see the bond in our clubhouse and how much they care for each other, which is, it says a lot when you spend that much time together that you can still put up with each other at the end or the beginning of October. And it says a lot about the personalities and the people we have in here. It is. I'm not in it to finish above 500. You know, I'm really not. And I think, no doubt, you know, the Mariners in their history have not had a lot of seasons over 500. You know, I get it. But, you know, we're in it to get to the playoffs, to get deep, you know, and get to the World Series. So, you know, everything we do as an organization is going to be geared towards that, whether it's decisions that are made, you know, on personnel, on players, on coaches, on scouts, whatever. It's got to be a championship-type organization, and we'll continue to build on what we started this year.
How much better equipped are you for that now after a full year?
Well, I think, you know, experience is a huge in our game. I know it is for me. I think, you know, for the guy in the front, Jerry, the guys in the front office, looking at our team, trying to address the needs and how do we get better, you know, we do have a feel for where we're at and what's ahead of us. We also know we're in a very tough division. And next year we're going to win the West, so we don't have to worry about this wild card stuff. So we got work to do.
Hey, Felix, well, you're going to give him a quick hook anyway, or what was...
Yeah, it was more, you know, seeing how he was feeling, where he was at. I think he'd had enough. And you know, it hasn't been a great season for Felix. You know, I talked to him a little bit after he came out of the game today. But, you know, certainly when we missed him the 6 or 7 weeks that he was out, it really hurt. And, you know, ability to get deep in games and just the innings, the load that he takes on. But to do that and where he's at in his career, he's going to, you know, have to make a few adjustments in the offseason and come into spring training with a little bit, you know, a bit better shape, a little bit more urgency, because we certainly need him at the top of the rotation. We need him in the rotation, preferably at the top, because, you know, he's got history of doing that. But he's kind of at that point in the career where he's going to have to make a few adjustments to get the results he wants.
This regime obviously wasn't here 2 years ago, but at this point 2 years ago, fans were excited, looking forward to the next season, and there's a big letdown. What would you say to fans right now to sell them on the fact that there's not going to be a letdown, that you guys have the pieces in play?
Well, we got to continue to get better. There is no doubt. I think we understand a little bit where what areas we need to address. I can't speak to the last regime. I was not a part of that. I can only speak to this one and knowing the general manager very well and how I'm wired. We're going to do everything we can to keep turning the screw. And, you know, there was a lot of things that you know, went our way this year. There were some things that didn't. But, you know, we understand that, you know, the offensive years we had by a number of our players may not be repeated again. Where are we going to get it? Okay, it's going to have to come from other places, you know, in our lineup, in our bullpen rotation, whatever. So I don't think you'll see us sitting pat. I think you'll see us aggressive, trying to get better, and maybe in some areas that the normal fan isn't even anticipating happen. But we'll be creative. And like I said earlier, it's not about finishing 500. I'm not really up for that. It is, you know, you'd rather win more than you lose, but it's about getting the playoffs and winning a championship. So we got work to do.
There's a little thing, every Gamble and Heredia, two guys that show a little athleticism around the doubles.
Very much so. Yeah, I think I really like what I've seen out of Ben Gamble. You know, really his first crack to get a chance to play a little bit in the big leagues, and we've thrown him in there late in games. He's handled it, got some big hits, played well defensively. You know, I think it's a guy we can grow with, and the same with Heredia. You know, they got things to work on, like young players, and the consistency offensively will be the key for them. But you know, like the athleticism, like the aptitude. Those are two young guys that are willing to work, ask good questions, want to learn, and they got a chance.
Is there a carryover effect from getting to the last, second to last game of the season in contention that carries over till next year?
I don't know if you're getting close. I think how we played down the stretch will carry over. And I think the urgency in how we played, the ability for some of our, even some of our veteran players to step up and not just talk it in the clubhouse, but step up on the field, I think carries over. You know, and they're continuing to grow even later on in their career. So those are all positives. I think, you know, hopefully Eddie Diaz continues the role because I think he was a key to our season and turning it around, just having that guy at the back end that can wipe him out. So there are some positives that certainly carry forward. But you got to start all over. There's, you know, 0-0, and like I said, we're in a tough division, and we'll have a lot of work to do.
You mentioned Diaz. Did he just get tired in September?
Oh, you know, I think maybe the finish to some of his pitches a little bit. And we, you know, we talked about it when it first came up. We had to be careful how much we used him, hopefully leaving a little bit in the tank at the end. You know, there was a few outings where you had to go get him in the eighth inning because that's just where we were at. We had to win that game. And that does put some extra stress on it. But, you know, I thought he threw the ball very, very well. I also think you have to give credit to the people in the league. Once they start seeing him and understanding how he does it, they're going to approach him a little bit differently. And I think you saw a little bit of that as well.
Starting pitching market. You mentioned Felix and different work needed to be done. All six of your guys, what can they do in the offseason and what can you do to help them as an organization?
Well, they're all a little bit different. You know, Felix obviously has a great track record. Kuma, I think, threw as many innings this year as he ever has. You know, so he's probably gone a little bit farther than we even anticipated he would and staying healthy the whole year. I mean, everyone's different. You know, where Paxton's at, where Walker's at, what he got out of Miranda. You know, they each have their own thing they need to address. Whether it's tightening up the breaking ball, the consistency of delivery, it's Taiwan, just consistency across the board. And it's hard. It's hard to keep it together for 34, 35 starts. But that's what we need, you know. And you know, you got 5, 6, you're going to need 7 or 8. Every team does. So, you know, we'll continue to address that. But every situation, every guy is just a little bit different in that regard.
Talk about this with Felix about some expectations for him.
Yeah, I think he understands. You know, and we will. I think, you know, with the suddenty of us losing last night, him pitching today, it hasn't been, you know, sit down, whatever. You know, Mel has continued to talk with him. You get out of this game what you put into it. I'm a firm believer in that. And you know, that's everybody. That's just not Felix or our regular guys. It's you got to put a little extra in if you want to get a little extra out or play a little deeper in the season.
Thank you.
Thank you all. I appreciate it. Thank you for all year.
It breaks your heart. It's designed to break your heart. The game begins in the spring when everything else begins again, and it blossoms in the summer, filling the afternoons and evenings, and then as soon as the chill rains come, it stops and leaves you to face the fall alone. You count on it, rely on it to buffer the passage of time, to keep the memory of sunshine and high skies alive. And then just when the days are all twilight, when you need it most, it stops. Today, October the 2nd, a Sunday of rain and broken branches and leaf-clogged drains and slick streets, it stopped. And summer was gone. Somehow, the summer seemed to slip by faster this time. Maybe it wasn't this summer, but all the summers that in this, my 40th summer, slip by so fast. There comes a time when every summer will have something of autumn about it. Whatever the reason, it seemed to me that I was investing more and more in baseball, making the game do more of the work that keeps time fat and slow and lazy. I was counting on the game's deep patterns, 3 strikes, 3 outs, 3 times 3 innings, and its deepest impulse to go out and back, to leave and to return home, to set the order of the day and to organize the daylight. I wrote a few things this summer that did not last, nothing grand, but some things, and yet that work was just camouflage. The real activity was done with the radio, not the all-seeing, all-falsifying television, and was the playing of the game in the only place it will last, the enclosed green field of the mind. There in that warm, bright place, what the old poet called mutability does not so quickly come.